Heidi, you've written this excellent book, and at the end of our discussion, I think our listeners will realize that this book should win an award. It's really a contribution to politics in the United States. It's called Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance by Heidi Boghossian. And Heidi, I wanted to ask you, spying on democracy, who are the spies and who are they spying on? What do you think this means?
Michael, the spies are different United States government intelligence agencies with partnering multinational corporations, largely the telecommunications companies, social media companies such as Facebook, Google, and retailers across the country. Together, they form really a powerful, almost impenetrable team that collects data on Americans' transactions from really the first thing you do when you log into the computer to any retailer experience that you may have. They create dossiers of our spending habits, of our communication habits, and it's so pervasive that the law really has not been able to keep abreast of technological developments and of what I call really a collusion between the private and public sectors where each entity benefits. So the corporations profit by this, which in turn makes them create more equipment to conduct surveillance and almost makes it impossible for the government to perform traditional government functions because they're so reliant on corporate partners. And there's also a revolving door between CEOs of these big companies and high-level positions within government intelligence.
Heidi, what I found remarkable about the book, a number of things. One is its breadth. It goes from some incredibly provocative chapter titles and chapters, Spying on Children, for example, which to me is really an important chapter because it talks about how basically from cradle to the grave and probably after, in fact, in one of your cases where an informant is only found out through his obituary in the Times. It goes from cradle to grave and beyond. And can you just give us some sense of, let's start with children, because that was provocative. How does spying and children work? What's going on there?
The children chapter was actually one of the last ones that I wrote. And I realized, as you've said, how fundamental this is in terms of creating from a very early age, essentially as soon as a child can watch television, play a video game, or log on to a computer, they're beholden to corporate interests in creating brand loyalty among our youngest citizens and people in this country. Years ago, I was always interested in the issue of television advertising to children because on a Saturday morning, for example, you'll have cartoon programming. And then in between the cartoons will be advertisements that look just like the cartoons. They have animated characters. The child has a difficult time distinguishing between fantasy characters and the cartoon entertainment. And why that was troubling is that it created young children a desire to go to their parents and ask them to buy certain things. What's happened now is with children being really brought up on the internet, both in school and at home, there's very little oversight by the Federal Trade Commission and other government agencies looking out for the interests of children. And advocacy groups have come to apply pressure to have more protections put in place. But for example, Coca-Cola, Burger King, McDonald's, Disney World, all are aiming their advertising at the youngest consumers so that then they have a lifetime of loyalty to follow. And what they do is gather the children's personal data, then start, as they do with adults, aggregating that information, selling it to third parties, and really having a complete picture of your likes and dislikes from a very early age on.
Favorite picture in the book, Playmobil. Maybe people remember that. This picture is of a security scanner, Playmobil figures, Playmobil security checkpoint toy recommended by the manufacturer for children 4 years or under. So it has like the scanner, it has someone putting a suitcase in, and you play with Playmobil using a scanner. So it's inculcating the values that they want children to get used to, really, which is, I thought, a remarkable part of the book. And when you mentioned about children and ads, Children aged 2 through 11 watched 26,000 ads each in 2004. That's like unbelievable. And it goes on like that. When you check into Disney, there's a way to something like bypass the lines or something if you give them information.
And that's an important point. At Disney World and in other amusement parks around the country, children and their parents are given bands to wear on their wrists that contain RFID chips, radio frequency ID chips, which we've covered a lot on Law and Disorder. Personal information such as birthday, interests of the child or family are stored in that. And when they get in to the park, they just scan their wrist, bypassing long lines. As in many other technologies, we have biometric ID, for example, in many hospitals in New York, where they'll say, if you want to see the doctor sooner, avoid the paperwork. You just palm scan to get in.
Yeah, that's what they did to me last week. I refused to do it.
Good for you. And I think what's happening then is at Disney World, I give the example of Cinderella greeting your child by his or her name because it's in the RFID chip.
What about spying on attorneys?
There is a chapter called Spying on Attorneys, right?
What's Listening in on Lawyers.
Listening in on Lawyers.
Heidi's Listening in on Lawyers. Well,
no, it's alliterative.
It was one that was dear to all of us, I believe, because as we know, as members of the National Lawyers Guild, the Guild was spied on by the FBI. Over 1,000 agents were assigned to us. For nearly 3 decades, they rummaged through our members' garbages. We had an infiltrator in Washington, D.C., serving as a staff person, and they tried to label us and failed as a subversive organization. But in doing research, and I should have known this, the People's Law Office in Chicago, where many of our friends work, had also been monitored for years. Apparently, across the street from their office, an apartment was taken out by the FBI, who spied on them for their work representing politically active individuals. Our friend Lynn Stewart, as you know, was monitored without her knowledge. And also the Center for Constitutional Rights filed a lawsuit suspecting that because of your work at Guantanamo and elsewhere around the world, your communications with clients internationally were being monitored. And it's happened with many of the lawsuits brought against the NSA and the telecommunications company, which, by the way, were given immunity several years ago from lawsuit. The courts have held you can't prove with a certainty that you're being monitored. But the main point is that, as with all of this spying, the chilling effect that knowing you may be spied on, your conversations may be listened into, really changes the way you do business, is more expensive.
Well, the center had to send its attorneys overseas to meet with families. We couldn't
exactly
talk on the phone.
Exactly.
We had to go out in the middle of some, you know, unpopulated area to
right.
meet with our clients.
And your conversations with journalists also
right.
may be impacted.
Yeah, and the court threw the case out when the center sued.
Right.